It is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. This is a passage from Maggid, very famous passage. Not one alone has stood up to destroy us, but in every generation they rise up to destroy us, and the Almighty saves us from their hand. And then we conclude and we conclude the Hisha Amda, and we say, Tsei Umad, go out and learn. What did Laban Ha'arami want to do to Yaakov Avinu? Shaparo lo gazar ela al hascharim. Paro decreed on the meals. V'lavan bikesh la'akor as hakol. Laban wanted to uproot everything. Shene emar, as the passage says, Arami oved avi. An Aramean wanted to destroy my father. Rame up to Vayerid Mitzrayim, and he went down to Egypt, and he dwelt there few in number. Vayihisham the Gai Gadol Atzum Virav. This is actually a passage from the book of Devarim, when the person brings Bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash, when they bring their first fruits, they recite Avidui Bikurim, a passage of Bikurim, and that's where this passage is from. Vayerid Mitzrayim. Now what the Baal HaGadol does is it takes every pasuk from the parasha of Bikurim, Arami Oveid Avi, it's Devarim 26, Vayerid Mitzrayim. And what the Baal HaGadol does is it expounds upon every phrase in that pasuk. So Vayered Mitzrayim, Anus al pi hadibur. We were forced or coerced, so to speak, by a divine decree to go down to Egypt. Milamit shelo yarad Yaakov avinu lishtakeh b'Mitzrayim ela l'gorsham. Yaakov did not go down to become a permanent resident, but only to sojourn in Egypt, like Yaakov says to Paro, lagur ba'aretz ba. We only came to sojourn in this land. There's no pasture land up in Canaan. The famine is very heavy, and we just want to live in the land of Goshen. Bimsei ma'at. So do you see what the Baal HaGadol is doing? We quoted the pasuk, Arami Oved Avi, in paragraph 2, in Sei Omad, says Shenemar. Now the Baal HaGadol takes every word in that pasuk and expounds upon it. So Vayered Mitzrayim means we were forced, coerced, so to speak, by God. Vayagar Sham means we only wanted to sojourn there, not dwell permanently. Bimsei Ma'at, few in number, means B'shivim Nefesh Yardu Avasechem Mitzrayim. That's a pasuk from Devarim. Va'at Hashem Chasham Akecha Kecholfei Hashemayim L'Rov. We came down 70 souls, a few people, and now God has made us like the stars in heaven, so many. Vayihisham L'Goy. What does that mean? Interesting, and we're going to talk about that. What does it mean we became a nation there? It teaches you that Israel became what? Mitsuyanim. So usually Mitsuyan means excellent. We became distinct in Egypt. And this is a pasuk from the beginning of Parsha Shmos, Ubnei Yisrael Paru Vayishutzu Vayarbu Vayatzmu Bimaad Maad Vatimalei Haaretz Osam. We became many and strong, and the children of Israel, the pasuk says, were fruitful and teeming and multiplied and very, very strong. The land was filled with them. Virav Kemosh Nema Rivava, quoting pasuk from it's Yecheskel. Revava ketzemech hasad nisaticha, vatirbi vatigdili vatavol ba'adi adayim, shadayim nechonu sarechtimech. So it describes the maturity of the woman, like the plant of the field, and you waxed and you grow great, and I came to your breast, and your hair was long, and you were naked, and I passed over you. This is from Yecheskel, Perek Tes Zion, I passed over you. I saw you rolling in your blood. I said, in your blood you shall live, in your blood you shall live. So this is actually a very significant thing. And what we will do is I have insights on these, each of these sections. I will tell you when you need the handout. Behisha Amda, the first thing on your handout is it is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. We cover the matzos and we lift the cup of wine. So why do we lift the cup of wine? The Maharal explains that the second cup corresponds to the second term of redemption. There are arba lashonas geula, and there are arba kosis v'hotzeisi. The second one is v'hitzalti. This is right in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav of Shemos. I will save you. Therefore, lifting the cup by v'hisha amda represents God's protective embrace. Not only does he save us in the past, he will continuously save us down to today from every travail. And so we lift the cup of salvation and we say, V'hitzalti, Hashem will save us from every difficulty that we face. Why do we lift the cup? Because like David HaMelech says, Kos Yeshuos Esa, U'v'shem Hashem Ekra. I will lift the cup of salvation. I will call out in the name of God. Why wine? Yayin Yismach Levav Enosh, a pasuk also from Tehillim. Since wine gladdens the heart of men, when we talk about Vihitzalti and the second coast and Hashem's protective salvation, therefore we lift a cup of wine which brings joy to the heart. Interestingly, Yalkut Shimoni, it's funny because Mrs. Feiner actually, she should have a tzeisam l'sham, was on her way or arriving in Eretz Yisrael. She texted me last night saying, I'm on the plane headed to Eretz Yisrael right now. And she quoted this in the name of her son, Rabbi Eitan Feiner Shlita. But anyway, preparing for Shir, I found a bra down. She said, my son says, the Yalkut Shimoni offers a unique interpretation, which Mrs. Feiner shared with me a couple of weeks ago. Yalkut Shimoni says, as we raise the cup of wine, we are saying something very interesting. This cup of wine itself has protected us through the ages. What does that mean? By raising a cup of kosher wine, Jewish wine, we declare it is our faithfulness from Torah to Torah and mitzvot, our staying away from assimilation. We do not drink yayin nachri. We're literally saying, says the Yalkut Shimoni, v'hisha amda, this cup of kosher Jewish wine, as opposed to yayin nachri, which leads to assimilation, has stood for our forefathers and for us. And this is a theme you're going to see later in Shir, the necessity of Knesset Yisrael to stay distinct, mitzuyanim sham, from the Umas Olam. And then I think that it's so well known, but with the current events that are going on, it is very worthwhile to repeat the classic Vihisha Amda. The Vihi is an acronym, what has stood for our forefathers and for us. Vav is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. I'm sure you all know it, but I think it's kedai to repeat it. Our tenacity and our belief and our hope and our clinging to the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Asaras Hadibros, and finally the Aleph of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And we know that even as we feel trepidation, concern, we know that it is our tenacity and our clinging to the Torah's Chayim, Kihem Chayenu, the Orach Yameinu, Uvaha Nega, Uvahem Nega, Yama Velayla, that brings us Yeshua in each and every generation. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, in his Haggadah, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, says, Vihisha Amda refers to our faith. Pashur Amuna. The Vihi, the Amuna, which has never abandoned us over all generations, the faith of our forefathers, our Amuna, because Rabbi Lau writes, a nation which does not lose its faith, and a nation which never gives up, regardless of its suffering, will live to foresee the fulfillment of redemption. So we had a few insights. What is the Vihishka Amka? First, Kumbhava Maharal says it corresponds to the second coast. We are celebrating, I'm reviewing, Vihitzalti, that God will save us. Not only did he save us in the past, he saves us down to today. Aruch HaShulchan writes, why do we say it over a cup of wine? Yayin Yismach Levav Enosh, because wine gladdens the heart of man, Kos Yeshua's Es. So why do we lift the cup of wine? Because I will lift the cup of salvation. I will call in the name of God. Yalkut Shimoni says it's actually our adherence to Torah mitzvos and staying away from the Umos Olam. This kosher wine itself is what has stood as a representation of what has saved us and our forefathers from assimilation in all generations. Vav is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Aseres HaDibros, and Hashem Echad. And finally, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau says, V'hi is our Amuna. Despite all of our travail and suffering, we have never given up faith in God. We will surely merit the redemption. Shabbachal Dar Vadar, that's on V'hi. Amdi Malenu L'chaloseinu, in each and every generation they arise to destroy us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, and the Almighty saves us from their hand. So we're going to look at a pasuk from Shemos. It's on your handout now. Okay, Shemos 19:4. We spoke about this at the time. This is Parshas Yisro. Perek Yates is the prelude to Matan Torah, if you will. And the pasuk says, this is right after the Kol Somar LeBeis Yaakov V'Tageid LeBnei Yisrael. The pasuk says, Atem Re'isim Es Asher Asisi LeMitzrayim. You have seen what I did to Egypt. Ve'Aseh Eschem Al Kamfei Nisrayim Ve'Avi Eschem Eli. I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to me. So the Baal HaTurim points out there that Atem is found four times in Tanakh at the beginning of a pasuk. So before we look at the Baal HaTurim, I gave you the four psukim where Atem begins a pasuk. So let's look. There are the last four psukim on page 1. Shemos 5:1. Atem lechu kechu lechem teven me'asher kintu ki ein nigra me'avodoseichem davar. After Moshe comes to Paro and he says, free the Jews. This is right at the end of Parsha Shemos. Paro says, free the Jews. The work is going to get much worse. You people are lazy. Go get your own straw. As for you, go find your own straw where you can find. You cannot diminish from the quota of bricks. 19:4, you have seen what I did to Egypt. I carried you on eagle's wings. I brought you to me. Devarim 29:9. Does everyone know where I am? Right at the end of page 1. Do we know where I'm up to? Atem nitzavim hayam kulcham lefnei Hashem elokeichem. Parshas nitzavim. You are all standing together today before God. Your heads and your tribes and your elders and your officers, every man in Israel. And the fourth time that this pasuk occurs in Tanakh, that this word occurs in a pasuk in Tanakh, at the beginning of the phrase is last pasuk on page 1, pasuk from Yeshayahu. Atem edai ne'um Hashem, you are my witnesses, says Hashem, v'avdi asher bachardi, and my servant that I have chosen, in order so you should know and believe in me and understand that I am he before there was no God and after there will be no power. So the Baal HaTurim points out, and now we could look at the Baal HaTurim. Okay, the Baal HaTurim points out, Atem arba rashi psukim. Atem occurs in Tanakh in the beginning of four psukim. We just look at them. Atem lechu kechu teven. You shall go and gather for yourselves straws. Va'adich. Atem re'isim es asher asis l'mitzrayim. And you have seen what I did to Egypt. So the Baal HaTurim says, what's the connection? Atem, you go gather straw. Atem, you have seen what I did to Egypt. Bishvil shelo ratzu mitzrayim latet lahem teven. Because the Egyptians did not want to give them straw. Therefore, you saw what I did to Egypt. So here the Baal HaTurim connects the first two psukim. Shemos 5:11 and Shemos 19:4, he said, are connected. Because the Egyptians did not want to give you straw. Therefore, you live to witness my retribution, what I did to them. I paid them back. Clear? Yes. Furthermore, continues the Baal HaTurim, Atem Nitzavim is connected to Atem Edai. Atem Edai. You are standing before God all together today is connecting to you are my witnesses and my servant that I've chosen. How so? Lomar, Bishvil Sha'atem Nitzavim La'olam, because you, Knesset Yisrael, will stand eternally before God. You are the perfect people, the chosen people, to be witnesses to God's eternality. Why? Just like Knesset Yisrael is eternal and will forever stand before the Ribono Shel Olam. Therefore, we are zocha to be God's witnesses because God is forever eternal. So what does this have to do with the Haggadah? I'm going to get there. But these are the four Atem. So the first two and the last two. You go get straw. You saw what I did to Egypt. Because they didn't give you straw, I paid them back, and you saw how I punished Egypt. Second two, you are standing before God because Knesset Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, is eternal. Therefore, we are witnesses that God is Ein Sof. He is eternal as well. In his Haggadah, which my daughter, I didn't have time or whatever to go this year, even though I love the YU Sfarim sale very much. One of my favorite venues of the year, but my daughter was a zocha to go with my father this year instead of me. And Kanainahar, she came home with a whole nice stack. So one of the things she brought home was the Rabbi Yisachar Friend Haggadah, which I was very excited. We do not have it. Rabbi Yisachar Friend, Insights into Haggadah Shel Pesach. So very beautifully, he connects these four psukim as related to our miraculous survival. He's going to connect these four as a story about the survival of our people. Atem lechu kechu lechem teven. Go gather straw, whatever you can find. The first Atem appears when Bnei Yisrael hit the lowest point in Egypt. When not only were they not redeemed, like Moshe promised they would redeem, but the workload suddenly got worse. I thought Moses is here to free us. Not only is he here not to free us, but what happened? It was even worse then before he showed up on the scene. B'nai Yisrael must have thought, writes Rabbi Friend, why is this happening to us? Where is the salvation we were promised? Has God totally abandoned us? What is this mayhem that we are facing? Why did Moshe come with the promise of redemption in the first place? The answer is in the next Atem. Atem re'isim as asher asisi Mitzrayim. Hashem is telling them, you endured terrible suffering. The suffering that we don't understand, of no more straw, yet you still have to fill the quota. The suffering when we are at our lowest point and the world makes no sense. And we do not see Yad Hashem in a revealed way. We just went through Purim and a time of Hester Panim. And nevertheless, says Hashem, you see, somehow it was all part of my plan to bring you close to me. So we go from the lowest point of, you go get for yourself straw, where the world makes no sense and the suffering is very, very difficult. Too, you have seen what I did to Egypt and I carried you on eagle's wings. The Ribbono Shel Olam truly is always with us, even when it is not discernible, which I think is a very important reminder as well for the matzav that we are going through today. Then there will come a different point in Jewish history, and we will say, says Rabbi Friend, why don't we see miracles anymore? Has he abandoned us again? The answer to that is the third Atem. You are standing, all of you, before Hashem today. You have not been abandoned, because the fact that we stand today as faithful Jews, kaviyachal, before the Ribbono Shel Olam, still serving him, is the ultimate proof that Hashem is protecting us and ensuring our survival. When it gets low again in Galus, and we wonder, do we have a chance? Where is God? What is happening? Then Atem nitzavim hayam kulchem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. Remember, you are all together before Hashem, before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our continued survival, the fact that we are still here, is the greatest proof that the Ribbono Shel Olam has not abandoned us. Without his protection, we would have long ago disappeared. And then finally, one day we will come, may it be soon and in our days, to the fourth Atem. Atem Eidai Nu'um Hashem V'Avdi Asher Bacharti. And that is when we will be Hashem's witness in the end of days, that there is only one true God, and we always knew that there was only one true God. Through the ups and downs, Rabbi Fran says, of our galus, as seen in this Atem, these series of Atems, we will come to the ultimate Yeshua, where we will all testify as witnesses that Hashem is one, Hashmo Echad, and Hashem is Echad. I just want to share one more word before we move on from the Vehisha Amda. And that is, if you look, I think I say this every year, but I think of it every year. My father-in-law shared it with me in the name of the Eim HaBanim Smecha, who says, look on your handle, V'hisha amda lavoseinu velanu, shalo echad bilvar amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Eim HaBanim Smecha, Rav Teichel writes, totally different interpretation than how we commonly interpret this. Shalo echad, when we are not united. When Knesset Yisrael is not one, when the right fights with the left, when the modern fight with the, I don't know, Haredim, when the Chilonim fight with the Tzionim, I don't even know what category we're in, but when there's internal fighting, Shalom Echad, when we're not one, Bilvad, that alone, Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu, that is the greatest tool to our destruction. The lack of achdus that Knesset Yisrael, sometimes unfortunately synonymous with galus, what got us into galus in the first place, lo yachlu darbo lo shalom, vayisnu oso, vayukana bo echav, it's what destroyed the second base of Mikdash, mipnei shahaisa bo sinas chinam, and rachmada litzlan kol darsha bo bana biyamav, ki ilu nechra biyamav, so it's very nice that we end the Seder by saying, Yerushalayim, you know, shana hababi, Yerushalayim, some of you like me were supposed to be, although Hashem has a plan in Eretz Yisrael this year for Pesach, perhaps next year, but we have to remember that the greatest deterrent to our salvation, says the Eim HaBanim Smecha, is Shalom Echad. And perhaps, you know, I spoke to my kids, obviously I'm sure everyone's speaking to their children or their grandchildren, so the only thing we could do, two things. One is Tefillah and one is Hishtadlus. What's Hishtadlus? Obviously Tefillah. Hishtadlus. First of all, practically, I wash my hands as soon as I came in here, I'm carrying around alcohol wipes, you could still get them.
I bought 600 yesterday. The doctor told me it's the exact same thing. It just does not have the name and the label of Purell. So the only thing you could do is practice hygiene. Tefillah, and I spoke to my kids and myself as well about everybody taking a Kabbalah, something that's doable, because if it's not, you set yourself up for failure, and an area that everybody needs to improve. I took something upon myself, all of my children as well, but something we have to keep in mind very much is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro as well. Shelo Achar, if we want to turn around and reverse the process of Golos, and all the Yisurim that come along with Galus, we have to keep in mind, Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechel, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach, that when we are not united, Rachman Alitzlan, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you're not together, so Chalila, I'm not together with you, God forbid. Let us go on. Tzei Uma, that was all on, look at the time, that was all on the first paragraph. I am, Be'ezras Hashem, going to put this in YU Torah. I know we're covering a lot of material. I'm going a little fast, but you can all go on and review it as well, especially because I know it's a few weeks still before Pesach. The next paragraph is Tzei Ulmar. Go out and learn. What did Lavan the Arami? You know where I am? I gave you the excerpt. Top of page one of your handout. I see some people turning their papers over. Remember, I gave you an excerpt from the Haggadah on purpose. So, everything we just said in the past 25 minutes was on the first sentence of Vehisha Amda. Now, the second one begins with Tzei Ulmad, go out and learn. What did Lavan the Arami want to do to Yaakov Avinu? So I saw something beautiful that I never even thought before. I'm quoting from the Chinuch Haggadah of Yaakov Bender Shlita, where my children are in yeshiva this morning. Tzei Ulmad, he brings down something very interesting. After reciting the Vehisha Amda, and we tell of the consistent, unremitting attempt to destroy us, but whichever nation has us in their sights in that generation, when we say we learn this from Lavan, who wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. It has been our reality ever since. Lavan bikesh la'akor es hakol. He is one example of b'chol der v'dor amdi maleinu l'chaloseinu. This is why this passage follows the Vehisha Amda. But Rabbi Bender writes something very interesting that I never considered. Why to begin with the word tzei? You understand? What could it just say? I don't know how it would have been constructed, but learn. Let's learn. What should we learn? What Lavan wanted to do to our father. Why does it say go out and learn? Why do we finish the Vehisha Amda and everything that we just spoke about by talking about tzei Uma? Just say Lamaid, or I don't know how it would have been phrased. So he says something very interesting. Beautiful. The question we asked is Tsei. We, Rabbi Bender writes, are the first generation following the great Churban in Europe. And we understand the significance of B'chol Dor V'Dor, Amdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. They wanted to destroy absolutely everything. My generation, writes Rabbi Bender, saw Jews who came limping out of Europe. In most cases, bereaved and mourning close family. Yet they planted and they built. So our generation, he writes, clearly knows what the Baal Haggadah is referring to. He writes that in Bnei Brak, Panovich started with nothing. The Panovich Arav lost his wife and nearly all his children. And he came and he visited Bnei Brak. It was a dusty town with a few orchards. I was zocheh to be there this past summer. But the Chazon Ish was there. And the Panovich Arav spoke of his dream. And people laughed. He was going to build a yeshiva. And people thought, Nebuch, the anguish has affected him. He must be crazy. He forged on. His response to B'chol Dor V'Dor Amdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu was, say, go out, continue with our lives, Ulmad, continue to learn, don't give up, say, it's not just learn from the past, it's continue to build. The tenacity of the Jew in every generation to continue to build, despite the fact, how? Because we are willing to go forth. We are willing to go out. We are prepared not to give up. He quotes a Rav Elia Meir Bloch, was in the middle of writing a Shtikl Torah, and he pauses and resumes writing, and he wrote a note in his Chidushim, Rav Elia Meir Bloch, I believe he was the Tauzer Rosh Hashiva, and he writes, Zatzal, in his notes, if the first part of my chiddush is more clear than the second part of my chiddush, it's because I received difficult news. And this is what he writes from the middle of writing Chiddushei Torah. Should someone look at these writings, let him not judge me as cold-hearted and cruel for having delved into the words of Torah after receiving terrible information. What was the information? Aside from the fact that the news did not shock me, I feel I can never come to peace without the toil of Torah. He just found out that his wife and his children had been killed, Rachmana Litzlan, during the Churban Europa, and he continued to write Chiddushei Torah. And he writes, no one should judge me. I feel I can never come to peace without the toil of Torah. Rav Soloveitchik has in a beautiful piece where he writes, in my year of triple mourning, I would have lost my sanity, he writes, were it not for the power of Limud HaTorah. Having learned, writes Rav Blachman, my awful tragedy, my first call of duty is to labor in Torah. On the one hand, Bikesh La'akor Esakol. And on the other hand, says Rabbi Bender, Kilo Tishkach Mipizaro. We have a promise that Torah will never be forgotten. We knew many Jews, says Rabbi Bender, who survived Bikesh La'akor Esakol, who went out to ensure Kilo Tishkach Mipizaro. A common denominator is they achieved and accomplished in difficult times. Say, when one contemplates those yitzios, the places that we have gone out, we see the glory of a people who never tire of building, who never tire of learning, who never tire of doing. And I think that once again, you know, I prepared this shiur. I got word very late last night that we had shiur. It was almost 10 o'clock when I was told we have permission to have shiur this morning. So obviously, it was prepared far before that, even before Purim. But you see how the words of Torah and the words of the Haggadah are really our journey in every time, in every experience, and in every difficulty that we face. Tzei Umad. We must be cautious, but at the same time, we cannot give up on our lives. We have to make every effort within the capacity of what is allowed to either go out or at least proverbially, metaphorically, go out and learn to ensure that we will continue, that we will thrive, that we will ensure that Umad, the learning, will never be forgotten. Kilo tishkach mipi zaro. Tzei Umad. Ma bikesh Lavan ha'arami lasos liyakov avinu. What did Lavan want to do to our forefather Yaakov? So Rav Soloveitchik says, I'm quoting from Festival of Freedom, thoughts of the Rav, on Pesach and the Haggadah. Our sages in the Haggadah, he says, introduce Lavan as an enemy of our people. Right after we say Vihisha Amda, the first enemy we talk about is who? Lavan. So why aren't we talking about Esav? And why aren't we talking about Amalek? And why aren't we talking about Haman? And why don't we begin with Paro? We begin with Lavan. It seems like a pretty strange place to begin. Ma bikesh Lavan ha'arami lasos liYaakov Avinu. I mean, okay, Yaakov was there for 20 years, but is that really our arch enemy in all of history? Is that how we begin the Haggadah? So, somehow, says the Rav, Chazal saw Lavan in a different light than we see him. When we study the story of Lavan and Yaakov, we see him as a liar, a cheater, an explorer. Your father switched my wages 100 times, says Yaakov to his wives. But we don't see him as a killer. However, Chazal saw him as a psychopath, as a Jew hater. They were very sensitive to the nuances in Lavan's statement. When Lavan says, Habinos benosai, habanim banai, hatson soni v'chol asher ata ro'eh, Lihu. What did he want to take away from Yaakov the Jew?
Everything.
More significant, La'asot imachem ra. He catches up with Yaakov and he says, I could have done bad with you. La'asot imachem ra. If he was addressing himself to Yaakov, he would have spoken in the singular. La'asot imchara. But he was talking about his own daughters, his own grandchildren. I could have done bad to you, because when Jew hatred arrives, it becomes so irrational, completely nonsensical, that he was willing to kill everybody. Nothing short of divine intervention would have stopped Lavan from implementing his plans. We have seen that in every generation. Nothing short of divine intervention will stop our enemies from implementing their plans. And the Rav says, interestingly, In comparison to Laban, Paro was sane. Of course, Paro ordered the boys cast into the Nile River, but he was concerned about his own son, La'asos imachemra. Laban was willing to kill them all, even his daughters. Paro was immoral. He was an exploiter. Paro was a slave driver, but he made money from the slave society. Paro was normal. Laban proves the hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. That's a direct quote. Laban, who was willing to kill his own daughters because they converted in a sense and married Yaakov, who wanted to take over his own grandchildren because again they were born to Yaakov. Laban proves hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. It is not only wrong from a moral point of view, it is abnormal. Only madmen could have devised the final solution. The plan to exterminate every single Jew, which began with Laban bikeshla akor es hakol. The hatred of our enemies today, says the Rav, is abnormal. And that is what is frightening. Laban is ready to kill his own daughters because they adopted a God that he did not understand. And this is what Chazal mean. In every generation, they arise to destroy us. Some of our enemies are even worse than Paro. Paro had a plan. It was good for his economy. He had slave labor. He was working the slaves because it benefited him. The truest anti-Semite has no benefit at all other than to utterly decimate Knesset Yisrael. Go forth and learn what Laban wanted to do to our forefather Yaakov. He wanted to uproot even his own flesh of blood. This kind of hatred of the Jew is indicative of insanity. And therefore, we begin with Laban, who reminds us. You know, sometimes you hear people say, today pretty much no one's talking about anything except coronavirus. But before that, when we still remember that there was anti-Semitism in the world, you hear people say, if we only act like this, they'll like us. And if we only act like this, they'll like us. And don't be too showy, and don't be too hidden, and don't be too similar, and don't be too different. Laban bikesh la'akor es hakol. Without rhyme or reason, without an economic plan, not because it was good for him like Paro. Paro, says the Rav, was sane compared to Laban, who proves that hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. Tzei u'mad, Arami Oved, Avi, and Aramean wanted to destroy my father. Vayered Mitzrayma, going on to the third paragraph. Vayered Mitzrayma, Anus al piha dibur. We were forced. There's a medrash, a famous medrash that says, had Yaakov Avinu not agreed to go down in the wagons that Yosef had sent, he would have been carried down to Egypt in chains. Anus al piha dibur. This galus was coming. Ger yezaracha, which is another passage that we quote in the Haggadah, Be'eretz lo lahem. It's from Perek Tesvav, Abereshnus, Brisbane Habasarim. God foretold the galus, va'avadum finu osam, arba me'o shana. Yes, va'achrechein, yetzir b'chush gadah. But there would be a galus. Anus al piha dibur. The Medrash says, had Yaakov not agreed to go down, he would have gone down in chains. Vayagarsham. Milamit shalo yarad Yaakov avinu lishtakeya. Bemitzrayim ela lagur. We're not permanent here. We're just dwelling in the land of Goshen, which we will come back to at the end of Shir. Okay. Skip to Vayihisham logoi. So I said we have to understand what does mitsuyanim sham mean. So mitsuyan usually means what? Today at least, excellent. So you know we focus on shorashim so much. So excellent and distinct really are related. We talk very much in our learning about how shorashim are related. If someone excels in something, it means that they are distinct or distinctive. So Israel was distinct and excelled there. I'm quoting from Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, the Rav Herschel Schachter Haggadah. The Medrash recounts that just before Kriyas Yamsuf, the Satan argued, and I'm sure you've heard this, the Gemara brings down, the Medrash, I'm sorry, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, V'Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What did the Malachi Asharei say to God? Why are you saving the Jews by Kriyas Yamsuf? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Egyptians are idol worshippers. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Jews are, if you could call them Jews, Am Yisrael at that point, were also idol worshippers. The Jewish people, said the Malach HaYishayas, and the angels are exactly the same. Why should the Jews walk through on dry land and the Egyptians drown in the seabed? They should all be killed. What's the difference between the Bnei Ya'akov and the Mitzrim? The Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm quoting from a Rav Shel Shechter Haggadah, defended the people. Although in Egypt they were not keeping the mitzvos, they maintained their identity in Egypt. It is true that only Shevet Levi observed Bris Milah. But even though en masse the Jews were not observing Bris Milah, Tefillin, Tzitzis, Shabbos, Kashrus, they were keeping nationalistic mitzvos. The Midrashim tell us, and you all know this, it's very famous, they didn't change their names. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their dress. This is what it means, distinct. They were not sitting and learning in a yeshiva and keeping all the mitzvos. They had assimilated to a certain degree and adopted some of the practices of the Egyptians, which is why the Malach HaYishayas said, why are you saving them? They are idol worshippers and they are idol worshippers. However, they retained their identity. They remained distinct. The Meshech Chachama comments, still quoting from Rav Heschel Shechter Haggadah, there is added significance to certain halachos that prevent Jews from assimilation. We do not judge which mitzvah is more important and which is less important, but there is significance to certain halachos which keep us from assimilation. And if you go back and you remember by Vehisha Amda, what did the Yalkut Shimoni say? It's literally the cup of kosher wine. It is a mitzvah and halacha that keeps us from assimilation. There exists, therefore, a hierarchy. Am I saying the word right? Hierarchy? Hierarchy of mitzvos. Rang on a ladder of the importance of mitzvos and the relative significance of different mitzvos in different historical settings. When the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, and we can keep all of the mitzvos, okay, so they are more important than the nationalistic mitzvos. From a halachic standpoint, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taharas HaMishpacha, from a halachic standpoint, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taharas HaMishpacha, are of great consequences. But when we are in Galus, the nationalistic mitzvos take on added significance because they prevent Jews from assimilation. The Baal Gada expounds here, Vayihisham Logoi. What does it mean? We became a nation in Egypt. We remained distinct. We excelled in keeping our national identity. We did not excel in the mitzvos per se, but rather in nationally identifying as Jews. The Jews must remain distinct from the rest of society in order to maintain their identity as a nation. And sometimes, he writes in Golos, that is even more important than Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taharas HaMishpacha. Don't misunderstand. Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taharas HaMishpacha are right up there. But when we are in Golos, and we become confused, and it's very difficult, and some of the people begin to assimilate, it is nationalistic mitzvos which keep Knesset Yisrael mitzuyanim, distinct. The Chachamim emphasize certain dinim, bishul akum, chalav akum, head covering, in order to ensure that the Jewish people lead a different way of life. They are not necessarily halakhically more significant, but they force us to be separated from non-Jews. If I don't drink your wine, if I don't eat your bread, if I don't drink your milk, it forces a separation between Bnei Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. Al pi halacha, other mitzvahs might be more important. And then Rav Herschel Schechter says, this is even more true in our times. When Jews constantly live and work side by side with non-Jews, we are constantly in contact with people from the Umos HaOlam, and we must maintain our nationalistic pride in remaining distinct and who we are. Vayihisham Lagai Melamed Shahar Yisrael Mitsuyanim Sham. We could be found distinct there. Under these circumstances, he says, we have to be even more careful with regard to the mitzvahs that single out the Jews. Non-observant Jews, he says, even anti-religious Jews, must also see that we are different. We have our own way of life. We will not compromise. He says, we are only here lagur, not lehishtakea. Like Yaakov said two paragraphs above, why did you come here? We are not here lagur. We are only here lehishtakea. And we have to show that we are mitsuyanim. They must know a Jew is someone who does not blend in with the general society. We keep kosher. We do not work on Shabbos. Our names are different. Our speech is different. Our mode of dress is different. Everything is different. Shahayu Yisrael K'mitzu Yanim Sham. They stood apart because they observed the nationalistic mitzvot. So we have to understand the importance in a galus of keeping the nationalistic mitzvot, not only the halachically, they're all halachically important, but to be distinct, we must be different. And we must retain those differences to ensure that by the ultimate Gula HaAsida, the prosecutor in Shemayim does not say, Elu Avdei Avodah Zarah ve'Elu Avdei Avodah Zarah. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs to be able to say, my people remained distinct in Galus. They identified as Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They dress different. You know how where you're somewhere, like random, and you could spot a frum Jew, and you always know that person is a frum Jew? How do you know? What do we have, like nevuah, sixth sense? What, a mental telepathy? You always know. Why? Because we are mitsuyanim. We must be good citizens. We must be polite. We must be law observant. But we have to be distinct. We have to be different. And that, says Rav Hershel Schechter, comes about through the nationalistic mitzvahs. I'm skipping. Okay. You could turn over, please. Continuing in this thought or theme, Rav Yaakov Edelstein, I'm currently reading the biography. His brother Shlita is Rav Gershon Edelstein, one of the Gedolei Hadar, Mimpanovich, Rosh Hashiva and Bnei Brak. I'm sorry, excuse me. So he quotes the Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam. Rav Yaakov Edelstein, in this biography, written by Sivan Rachav Meir and her husband, it's art scroll. So he, in English, quotes an excerpt from this Rambam. So I went to look at the Rambam inside. Derech Briyaso Shel Adam Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav. Halacha Aleph. Derech b'riyaso shel la'adam lihiyot nimshach b'dei osav v'ma'asav achar re'av v'chaveirav. What is the danger of b'chol dor v'dor amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu? That it's not only physical annihilation, but in some generations it is, and perhaps even more dangerous, spiritual annihilation. When we do not maintain the mitsuyanim sham, when we start to blend in too much, how does that happen? Because the Rambam writes, it is the way of the nature of man to be pulled in his thoughts and his actions after his friends and his chabura, the noheg b'minhag anshei medina sok. And a person begins to act like the way people act in his province. Lefichach tzarich adam lehitchaber latzadikim. And therefore, a person must make sure to join with the righteous. V'leishev eitzah ha-chachamim tamid. And you should always be sitting with the wise men. Kidei she-yilmod mima'aseihim. In order that we shall learn from their ways. V'yisrachet min ha-reshayim ha-hochim b'choshach. Kidei she-lo yilmod mima'aseihim. And we must stay far away from the wicked who walk in the darkness, so we do not learn from their ways. And Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein Zatzal quotes, he was a rabbi in Ramat HaSharon. If the Rambam wrote, it is man's nature, it means literally it is embedded a man to follow after his surroundings. Just like we have two hands, he says, and two eyes, and two legs, and one mouth, we also have a tendency within us to go after our surroundings. If a person is strong, if a person is steadfast, he can battle the Yetzer Hara and it will make him stronger. Interestingly, why am I bringing you this? Because he says, Avram emerged from an idolatrous environment. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Paro's palace. Rus was raised in Moab. Yaakov Avinu lived with Esav and then Lavan Ha'arami. This is where Knesset Yisrael was formed, from the battle with Esav, from 20 years struggling with Lavan. So what did we get for ourselves? To counteract the nature of going after our environment, there are Avos who went against their environments, implanted within us the ability to be mitsuyanim. He specifically brings up Yaakov Avinu, who had to battle with Esav and overcome Lavan. The Jewish people in the Egyptian exile, writes Rav Yaakov Edelstein, overpowered the corruption that was entrenched in the land. They were liberated from the impurity of the land by overcoming the impurity of the land and their surroundings. And it's something we have to keep in mind. We live in such a tumah-filled environment and society, and the ways of the Umos HaOlam do impact us and do make inroads in our society. We have to lift a cup of wine and say our clinging to perhaps mitzvos derabanan that may not be as halachically significant as the mitzvos deoraisa, but are made to put up gedarim between us and umas olam, remind us we are only here lagursham. Velo lehishtakeh. This is not my home. I am mitzuyanim. You should be proud to be spotted as the from Jew in the amusement park, and everybody knows it's you in the middle of all the rest of the umas olam. If you look to page one, we have to finish with this piece by the Ha'emek Davar. It's very, very powerful. Go back to page one. So, Vayihi Sham Lagoy. We spoke now at length in Melamed Shahayu Sham Mitzuyanim Sham. We quoted Heschel Shechter, we quoted Yaakov Eosim, we quoted the Rambam. What does Gadol Va'atzu mean? It means Ubnei Yisrael Paru Va'yishrutu Va'yarbu Va'yatzmu B'me'od Me'od Va'timalei Ha'aretz Osam. You all know what it means, that Israel, like the person who's bringing his Bikurim declares, was great and strong. It means the children of Israel were fruitful and teeming and many and strong very, very much. Va'timalei Ha'aretz Osam. The question is, what does Va'timalei Ha'aretz Osam mean? So on the pshat it means, what does it mean? It means that they filled the land because we were so many and fruitful and teeming. I saw many years ago, I don't remember where it was brought down. It can also be read, the Sefer Torah does not have nekudos, vatimalei ha'aretz osam. They allowed the land to fill them. The ways of the land and the practices, because the very next pasuk is, Vayakam melech chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. After, in the Chumash, it tells me that the Bnei Yisrael were fruitful and teeming and multiplied very, very much. It tells me a new king arose who did not know Yosef, Rav, and Shmuel have a machlokes. Either he forgot Yosef or he didn't, but he made new gezeros. Have a nischak melo. This pasuk, page 2, that was just quoted by the Gal Haggadah, Shemos 1:7, was just quoted by the Baal Haggadah to tell me that we were Rav and Atzum, is followed immediately by Shema in the Chumash 1:8, by Yaakov Melech Chadash of Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yaldes Yosef. By Yomer El Avo, Hinei Bnei Yisrael, Rav Atzum, Havan Nishchak Melo, Pen Yerba. And he begins with tax oppression and slave labor. Why is this pasuk, Shemos 1:7, the bridge into the Galus and the Shibur Mitzrayim, into Bechol Dor Vador? You have to look at this Ha'emek Davar with me. We started a few minutes late till we got our bearings and found where we were supposed to be. So I see the time, but I need the full hour. I hope you can stay. Ha'emek Davar is the Nitziv. Rav Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, that's all. Atimalei ha'aretz osam. What does that mean? Im haya ha'kavana eretz Goshen, does it mean that they only lived in the land of Goshen? Like we quoted from the Baal Haggadah already, Yaakov comes down to Egypt, and he says, I only want to live in the land of Goshen. That's what Yaakov says in the Haggadah. We read that pasuk. Does it mean they only lived in the land of Goshen? I don't understand the next words. If anyone does, you can email me and let me know. I'm putting that out there. We can still learn this whole piece. Aval lashon hamikra, skip to the end of line one, osam. What is klivatim aleha or it's osam? Balala me, delo eretz goshen levad, shahaya miyuchad l'Yisrael umala miyisrael levad. It means, vatim aleha eretz osam, means they didn't just live in the land of Goshen, which was special for the Jews and full of Israel. Ela afilu kol eretz Mitzrayim, shahaya ikar yeshivas am Mitzrayim, mikol makom malah haaretz Yisrael. They started to move out of Goshen. They were living now in Egypt proper, which was really the place for the Egyptians, and now became full of Jews. Omish ma'ut otam imam. What does it mean, vatimalei haaretz osam? It means, vatimalei haaretz imam. They were now living with or amongst the Egyptians. Kemosha kasu b'sefer Vayikra. Okay, he brings a poem from Vayikra that osam can mean itam. V'haya kol makom panui shematzu Yisrael liknot v'ladur nityashu shama. Any appropriate place or corner that Israel found to buy and to live, they were moving out of Goshen. This is after in the Chumash, v'yamas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hadar hahu. 1:6, 1:7, ubnei Yisrael paru vayishutzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'maod maod vatimalei haaretz osam. 1:8, vayakom melech chadash. So after Yosef died, they started to look for good real estate outside of the ghetto of Goshen. Paragraph 2. V'hainu dechtiv v'makas b'choros u'pasach Hashem ala pesach. Makas b'choros, of course, is also something that we discuss on Leil HaSeder. He brings it up here. Why does it say that by makas b'choros Hashem skipped over the Jewish houses? If they would have all been in Goshen, then what? There would have been nothing to skip over. Harei shahayu harbi bata Yisrael bekerev bata Mitzrayim. Makas b'choros, the God had to skip over, proves to us that there were many houses of Israel amongst the houses of the Egyptians. V'afal God sheyivo er lahal, and even though we will clarify further on, that Paro came to Israel and oppressed them and made them live in a constricted space, lahashpil da'atam, to cause them to feel worthless. Mikol makom haya ba'oven shenisharu bekerav arei Mitzrayim ben Betayim. Nevertheless, Paro tried to keep them in Goshen and to keep them apart, but they wanted to move out. I want a better piece of real estate. I want to live with the goyim. My Jewish neighbor's always fighting with me. I can't stand his hashkafas. I don't want to hear how he feels about the rabbi. I'm moving to the other side of town amongst the Egyptians. Ubaha kasuv lahaktim bezeh. Oh my gosh, look inside. Paragraph 3. Ubaha kasuv lahaktim bezeh sibas sinetz Mitzrayim v'gzeres hamalchus. And therefore, this pasuk is coming and preceding the reason that Egypt hated us and the gzera of the king to enact laws of oppression. Umachshavas chashad mashalo ala aldas Yisrael. And there was a suspicion that Israel didn't even think of. Calls that Bab Mishum She Bikshu Latse Me Ratzon Yaakov Avim She Yeshu Dafka Beretz Goshen. We don't want to be Mitsuyanim. We don't want to be distinct. We don't want to live in our own ghetto anymore. We want to live with everybody else. Yaakov, the old man, the old ways of the Alter Hein, he thought we should be different. We want to not live anymore Dafka Beretz Goshen. Yaakov wanted us to live in Goshen, so we would be separate and distinct from the Egyptians, like it says in Parshas Vayigash, Aval heim lo ratzu kein. They, Vayamas Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Darahu, that's how it was in the olden days. Today we're enlightened. We don't have to be distinct anymore. I want to live with everybody else. I don't know what Beishin Reish stands for, but he's quoting a source. Isa od shepasku milimol. He quotes a source who teaches, and we already saw this in our Pesul Shechter. I don't know if you heard when I mentioned it, that you're not doing bris milah anymore in Egypt. The Jews stopped giving their children bris milah. V'hu tamu ma'garam misas Yosef lezeh. And it's a question. Why did the death of Yosef cause this? Ella, Kemosha Kosov, the Kos Mansha Yosef Chai, Lo Hiniach La Das Israel La Dur Bekar Mitzrayim. As long as Yosef was alive, he watched over the Bnei Yaakov. He did not let them live amongst the Egyptians. Al Kain, Sham Rumila, Yosef made laws. And so while Yosef was alive, they were Mitsuyanim. They were distinct. They were separate. They were Bali Brismila. Aval Mishames Yosef, when Yosef died, Vikavu di Rasam Gambi Mitzrayim Kula. Aval Mishames Yosef, Vikavu di Rasam Gambi Mitzrayim Kula. When Yosef died, they established their residence throughout Egypt. Umishum Hachi Pasku Milimot. Because of this, remember we saw the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. It is the nature of man to be influenced by his surroundings. And if you interact too much with the Umas Olam, you will want to become like the Umas Olam. And therefore, because of this, Mishum Hachi Pasku Milimot, once Yosef died, and he stopped keeping them in Goshen, and the old man, Yaakov, and his ancient ways aren't here anymore, I want better real estate. I don't want to live amongst the Jews. It's always so crowded where they're from, people. You have to wait in so many lines on the Chol HaMoed trips. I can't stand as a shkava. I'm moving out of here. And once they moved out, they stopped doing Bismila. Sha'amru nihiyah kimitzrim. We want to be like the Egyptians. The Malach HaYeshua said, why are you saving them? Look what they did in Egypt. They established their dwelling. Yaakov says, Lagur, I'm temporary. His children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren said, oh, it's so nice. We could live here. They established their dwelling amongst the Egyptians. It was good for them. They would rather prostrate, worship the Egyptians. Velo yihyu nikarim shehema yehudim. They did not want to be distinct. They did not want to be recognizably different. No more vihisha amda. No more yayin yehudi. Now we bring our share full circle because we began with the Vihisha Amda. Amo. Oh my gosh. And that's why the Medrash says, Hashem turned the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people. One thing history has shown time and again, the more we try and be like them, the more they absolutely reject us. I'm not obviously a Navi. I have no idea what's going to happen. But one thing I did say, Hashem Mishmor, I have no idea about Bernie Sanders. May God save us. One thing I did say is I don't believe America will elect a Jewish president. The more we try to be like them, the more they reject us. Because we try too much to be like them, all of a sudden, the Medrash teaches Hashem turned their heart to hate his people. Ukvar bi'arnu b'sefer Bereishis, ki geria zarecha. Another pasuk we say at Agada, we've also already clarified. When the pasuk says to Aram in the Brisbane of Sarim, your children will be strangers in a strange land. Asher hi hasiba. Look inside. This brings our sheer full circle. We began with Vihisha Amda. Hi hasiba shebechol dar vadar amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. Bishvil she'ein anu rotzim lihios kigerim v'nivdalim min ha'ubnos. This is written in the 1800s. It's before Rachmana Litzlan, a korban that no one could even imagine. But he tells us a timeless message. You want to know what b'chol dar v'dar amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu means? We spoke all about the Vihisha Amda. But what's the b'chol dar v'dar? Hasiba shebechol dar vador amdim aleinu lechaloseinu bishvil she'ein anu rotzim lihiyo kigerim. We don't want to be any more lagur ba'aretz banu. We want lehishtakeya v'nivdalim min ha'umas. We don't want to be mitzuyanim. We want to be like everybody else. Then says the Netziv, you know what Hashem does? He overturns their heart. So they hate his people. Vayakam melechadash. And somehow with Ribbono Shel'Olam's great mercy, no matter how much we struggle and we're confused, never mind, perhaps we can conclude by saying V'hisha amva lavoseinu velanu. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau says it's our faith in God. Maybe we could say it's God's faith in us. We wake up in the morning, Shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chem l'rabba amunasecha. You, Hashem, believe in me. Maybe the final lesson of V'hisha amda lavoseinu velanu, v'akosh baruch hu matzi leinu miyadam. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shita says we believe in God. Our amuna has stood for our forefathers and us. Maybe it's the amuna of the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael that we will always come back to him. Like we quoted with Ezra Hashem at the end of days, Atem Eidai Hum Hashem Va'avdi Asher Bachardi. Knesset Yisrael is eternal. Ribbono Shel Olam is eternal. Halavai, halavai, halavai. B'mheru b'yameinu b'nisan nigalu b'nisan asidi l'higa'el. I wish you all Bezal Shem a healthy. I will see you before then, I hope. And a kasher chag v'sameach. Thank you.